Welcome back to hour number two of the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy tonight on Thanksgiving Eve. It is 6 minutes after the hour. Glad you could join us here tonight. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Just to close up, to put a cap on that last hour with Andy Worthington, and if you missed any portion of it, we will have it and the rest of the show up late night tonight at bradblog.com for your free archive perusal. That said, please support the Mike Malloy Show and run over to MikeMalloy.com and get yourself a podcast and help keep progressive radio on our public's airwaves. Please? Thank you. All right. To put a lid on that, though, in his story, Andy Worthington's story on Guantanamo, Obama hits rock bottom. He concludes, the silence of President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder in response to complaints about trials in civilian courts is deeply troubling. The Obama administration needs to put down those who are insulting U.S. law through the prism of their own warped ideology, and there is no telling where the rot will stop. If senior officials believe in the ability of federal courts to try terror suspects, then they need to find the courage to say so boldly and with a courage that has been sadly lacking, and to follow through on their beliefs without caving in to criticism from opponents whose entire point of view is fueled by blind vengeance and a thorough disdain for the law. I would also add that their entire point of view is fueled by a blind partisanship and a quest for power. And these are people, Republicans for the most part, who will say and do anything at this point to destroy Barack Obama, no matter how it might destroy our own sense of self, our own constitution, and even our own national security. I can't remember who it was who said recently, but it's true, that at this point, the Republicans love power more than they love national security. And it is and will be to their eternal shame, as it will be, by the way, to Barack Obama's, unless he gets it. And gets it soon. All right, we're going to be joined momentarily to discuss an extraordinary case in Florida. An extraordinary case of what appears, sure as hell appears, to be fraud in a recent election down in Osceola County. I'll find out if I'm pronouncing that right. Osceola, I think. County, Florida. An amazing case. We're going to be joined by an election integrity advocate, Susan Pinchon, and the attorney on the case, Derek Brent. This was filed just yesterday, and it is, as Rachel Maddow likes to say, a story that no one is talking about, but we are. Before I get there, in some other election news, out here in California today, Republican Steve Cooley, the L.A. County District Attorney, has finally conceded in his race to San Francisco District Attorney Kamala Harris. They were locked in a battle for State Attorney General to replace, in this case, it would replace Jerry Brown, who's moving back up to the governorship. This means, with Cooley's concession, that 9 out of 9 races in California, 9 out of 9 statewide races that were run on November 2nd were all won by Democrats. We got your teabaggers right here. What red tidal wave? What are you talking about? 9 out of 9 went to Democrats. Pretty amazing, bucking the rest of the country. That's one piece of news. The other, a recount is ordered in Minnesota. Oh, good news. Democracy rears its head once again in, frankly, the state that seems to love democracy, small d democracy, up in Minnesota. Minnesota's governor's race, the state canvassing board on Tuesday ordered that all 2.1 million ballots cast in the gubernatorial election be counted again by hand. Minneapolis Star Tribune is reporting that the board accepted a report by the Minnesota Secretary of State, that would be Mark Ritchie, which found that Democrat Mark Dayton is leading Republican Tom Emmer by just 8,770 votes because this is in the governor's race. Because the difference is less than one half of one percentage point, it automatically triggers a recount. So the recount will start on Monday. I don't call it a recount. I call it a hand count, since it's the first time these paper ballots will actually be counted by human beings, for the most part, in each of the state's 87 counties, and they should be finished by December 7th. Emphasis on should, for those who remember Franken Coleman. These things can get dragged out. Such is democracy. And boy, oh boy, does I love it. And by the way, the folks in Minnesota should be very proud, extremely proud, to have their Secretary of State, Mark Ritchie, perhaps certainly one of the best Secretaries of State in the country, after the 2008 Coleman-Franken hand count. They should be very proud because that was, it was about open transparency and public oversight. And Mark Ritchie delivered in spades, and there is no question who won that election by the end, and that is what democracy is about. By the time we finish, we need to know, the winners need to know, and their supporters need to know that they won, and the loser and the loser's supporters need to know that they lost. And all but the most disinformed of the wingnuts out there know, in fact, that Al Franken won that race, and that, again, is thanks in no small part to Mark Ritchie. So way to go, Minnesota, and get ready, because here we go again. All right, let me get to, do I have time, or do I got to go to a break? Yeah, I can go. Let me go real quick, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back for more. I want to get to Derek Brett. He's the managing attorney of the Brett Law Firm down there in Florida, as well as Susan Pinchon, the longtime election integrity advocate and expert from Florida Fair Election Coalition. She can also, by the way, be seen in HBO's Emmy-nominated 2006 landmark documentary, Hacking Democracy. Although, did I just hang up on one of them? I did. All right. Landmark documentary, Hacking Democracy. She will be joining us in a moment as soon as we get her back, but that's okay, because I wanted to go to Derek Brent first on this. Okay, this is an extraordinary case, Derek. You did what appears to me to be a hell of a good job in filing this lawsuit in Osceola County in a county commission, second district race between Armando Ramirez and John Quinones, and you filed on behalf of Ramirez, and there's sort of two different sections to this case that I want to talk about. One is problems, concerns with the voting machines. They use paper ballots down there. I think Diebold Ops can, correct, Eric?
Yeah, that's correct. And Brad, I'm a long-time admirer. Thanks for inviting me on tonight.
You're very kind to say that. Thank you, sir. So we have the voting machine issues. We're going to talk with Susan about that in a second. But you had some extraordinary incidents of what appear to be very serious fraud, Derek. So welcome to the show, sir, and give us an idea of some of what we're looking at, and then we'll get into the specifics.
What we have is, on the provisional ballot level, we have two voters. We have provisional ballots for people who the supervisor of elections and their employees are uncertain as to whether or not they can actually cast a regular ballot. We had two people who were misissued provisional ballots. It happens a lot, unfortunately. But they were misissued provisional ballots. The individuals have 72 hours to go into the Supervisor of Elections office after the fact to prove that their votes should actually be counted. These two individuals, after they cast their provisional ballots, were sitting at home the night after the election, and the opposing candidate, Mr. Quinones, who was eventually declared the victor, literally knocks on their door in the middle of the night and wants to talk to them about everything. They're freaked. They don't open their door, but Mr. Quinones, through the door, says they don't need to go into the Supervisor of Elections the next day, that everything has already been taken care of. They persist. They go in the next day. Supervisor of Elections employee says, we know who you are. Don't worry. It's been taken care of. Your votes will be counted. 2 days later, November 5th, they find out their votes were never counted.
So they were told, that I get this straight, they have to vote provisionally for whatever reason, and they're supposed to go in and verify that they are who they say they are the next day. They're actually visited by one of the candidates at this house who says, don't worry about it, don't go in. They don't fall for that. They're freaked out. They don't fall for it. They go in anyway, and then someone at the election office in Osceola County says, oh, you don't worry about it. We got you covered. We know who you are. So they go away, and their votes are never counted after that.
That's correct. That's one story.
That's only one. And by the way, I failed in pointing out we're talking about a race where how many votes currently separate the winner from the loser?
50.
And how many votes would need to separate the winner from the loser to trigger a recount or a hand count?
Approximately 43 to 44. For an automatic recount, for a hand count, half that amount, so yeah. Approximately 21, 22.
Okay, so anywhere from 7 or 8 to 22 votes, if those changed, would change the course of this race to cause some sort of a hand count or automatic recount, so very few votes. All right, let me take a quick break here, and I want to come back, get some more examples of this fraud that you're talking about in this race, which is mind-blowing, and we're going to talk to Susan Pinchon as well about problems with the machines. I'm telling you, this case, this ought to be the end of paper ballot op scans if half of the stuff in this case is proven true. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Much more. Stay with us. Straight ahead. Malloy Show, 22 minutes after the hour. Brad in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Derek Brett, attorney from Osceola County, Florida, and Susan Pinchon of Florida Fair Elections about this the second district race in the Osceola County Commission. They've just filed a lawsuit, Armando Ramirez has, against the county and his opponent, John Quinones, a race that they're separated by just 50 votes. And if it was, 7 or 8 less, there would be an automatic recount required. And there is some extraordinary evidence for fraud in this case. And, well, before I get to the voting machines, let me make sure I got Susan. I haven't hung up on her this time. Hey, Susan, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
There you go. All right. I'm good. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Susan. Great to talk to you again. I promise, well, I can't promise, but I'm going to try not to hang up on you again.
Okay.
It's the least I can do. But before I get to you and the machines, I want to get to back to Derek for a second to talk about more incidents, evidence of fraud here. We talked about Mr. and Mrs. Lee and what happened to them in the previous segment. Tell us about what happened with the Sextons, Mr. Brent.
Well, the Sextons had a different case, and this is a much more pervasive example. First, Brad, you really have to understand, once that election is certified, we have 10 days to file a lawsuit. So the grassroots activists that were working alongside Mr. Ramirez really did an incredible job to actually root out a lot of this evidence. But the Sextons are an example of people who actually never voted. And yet were alleged to have actually cast absentee ballots in the race that were counted, and we can only assume they were counted in a way which really wasn't for Mr. Ramirez.
So they never voted. They have testified to you that they never voted. They never asked for an absentee ballot, correct?
They never voted. They never asked for an absentee ballot. They weren't interested in voting in this election, and in fact, I believe Mr. Sexton was actually out of the country at the time.
Yeah, he was supposedly in the Philippines
for the past
3 months.
That's correct.
So how do we know that they voted, or how do we know that the county believes that they voted?
Well, the county actually provides a list of voters who cast absentee ballots, and both of the Sextons are on that list. So, again,
and
this is
I
not...
Add,
yeah, go ahead, Susan.
And all 7 voters in the Sextons precinct were shown, the vote was 7-0 in the absentees for Mr. Quinones. So they were obviously shown as voting for Mr. Quinones, and yet they never voted.
How about the other 5 who voted in that precinct for Mr. Quinones? Have you been able to check with them to see if they voted or if somebody voted for them?
Well, yes.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, we have been able to do that. It's funny. We have one particular person who she actually did vote and cast an absentee ballot. She cast it for Mr. Ramirez. Her mother, Ms. Garcia, had supposedly also cast an absentee ballot, according to the Supervisor of Elections records. However, she never had cast an absentee ballot. She's actually been in Puerto Rico for the last 6 months, and we have a copy. We actually, no, not a copy. I submitted a copy with the complaint. We have the actual sealed absentee ballot envelope that was mysteriously sent to Ms. Garcia's address where she lives with her daughter. The others all live within the same precinct and had all cast ballots for Mr. Ramirez. This precinct, Precinct 134, had only, according to supervisor's records, cast two ballots for Mr. Ramirez. We've uncovered four voters who have cast ballots for Mr. Ramirez in 134, both Ms. Garcia's daughter, as well as three other residents who live in the same domicile, who are domiciled together,
right,
had all cast ballots. Not, apparently, at least two of those, if not more, were never counted for Mr. Ramirez. At least two of those, because of the supervisor's records that confirm these ballots were counted, apparently were counted for his opponent, Mr. Quinones.
So some were cast and not counted. Others were not cast, but they were counted. And in the case of Ms. Garcia, you've actually got record that she voted, but Ms. Garcia's daughter says Ms. Garcia was out of the country and actually has the ballot that was sent to their house still sealed in the envelope, right?
That is correct.
It seems like a cut-and-dry case of fraud to me. I don't know how anybody's going to explain this one. We've got to talk about this for a few more minutes after the break and about the machine problems they're having as well with Susan Pinchon of Florida Fair Elections Coalition and Derek Brent, the attorney who filed the case. Brad in for Malloy's. Stay with us.
I can't get no relief. Drink my wine. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
We are going to cut them down. Our friends at Diebold, they can keep running, but we will cut them down. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Glad you can join us here on Thanksgiving Eve. We will be opening up the phones to your calls on this topic or any other you'd like to talk about a little bit later this hour and the next. All next hour is wide open to you. 877-520-1150. We're finishing up here on this, what I think is an extraordinary lawsuit that I have at bradblog.com. If you come to the item for tonight's show, you can download this PDF, get all the details on it in Osceola, Florida, the Osceola County Commission, second district race between Armando Ramirez and John Quinones. 50 votes currently separate them, and Derek Brett is representing Mr. Ramirez, has filed a lawsuit on his behalf concerning sure as hell appears to be fraud in several cases. And Susan Pinchon has been working on this case as well. She's an election integrity advocate from Florida who joins us to talk about problems with the voting machine. So to quickly summarize, and I'll move here to Susan, but to quickly summarize, we're talking about ballots that were said to have been cast but were found to have never been counted, and some voters who said they didn't vote at all, but it turns out someone voted for them, and oddly enough, in at least one of those cases, a Miss Garcia, she actually still she was out of the country, she still has the sealed ballot, the absentee ballot at her house, and yet somehow the county shows that she voted. for John Quiñones, who only leads by 50 votes, and if it were a few less, there would be an automated recount. Okay, Susan Pinchon, with all of that fraud that's going on with these voters, what about the machines? At least they performed well. At least they counted ballots accurately. Did they not, Susan Pinchon?
Well, Brad, we hope to find that out, but I would like to say I loved your comments about Minnesota, and leading into the machines, I'd just like to say that in Florida in 2005, they passed a law. It's against the law in Florida to hand count the paper ballots. And we have, unlike Minnesota, we have a problem here where the state will do just about anything to prevent being embarrassed or to prevent anybody's knowledge of problems with elections. So,
you mean you won't even get a hand count if the numbers turn out to be 10 votes separate? Won't you get a hand count?
What they did in 2005 was change the definition of manual recount, and now we're only allowed to recount the undervotes and the overvotes, but never. It's actually against the law to count all the paper ballots. It's been requested by many candidates around the state, and the State Division of Elections says, no, you cannot do that.
It is illegal to actually examine and count a paper ballot in the state of Florida.
Isn't that just... I mean, now, we did get paper ballots in Florida in 2007.
Yeah,
but,
you did. And to Charlie Crist's credit there, but now that you got the paper ballots, wouldn't it be nice to count them like they get to do in Minnesota?
Yes, we're hoping for that one day. So,
yeah.
So we have just a little bit of everything in this Osceola election. We have military overseas ballots that weren't counted. We have people who were forced to vote by provisional ballot who should have been allowed to vote by regular ballot.
And now, were they legal, Susan, were they legal military ballots that were sent back in and arrived in time?
That is what we believe to be the case, and we believe that they were never counted.
Why were they not counted?
Well, we don't know the reason why yet, and that we hope that will come out, and you know, as this case progresses.
And how do you know that they were not counted?
Well, that is, I think Derek might be able to answer that. But well, for one thing, the last records that they submitted to the state were the election was November 2nd, and the last records they submitted for absentee voting, those records were submitted on November 1st. So all the votes were not in at that point, and yet those were the last records that were part of the official record. And the military ballots are counted on election day and then 10 days following the election in Florida. So.
And the numbers never changed in those following 10 days?
That's correct.
All right. And, could it be that votes were cast by the military, but in this case there were just undervotes in this particular race, that they counted them for other elections on the same ballot?
Well, it could be possible, but we have a lot of odd situations. We have 86 people who are shown as having voted by absentee ballot, but they have no address on the records and no precinct number.
Okay.
Tell
me about the there's a train coming by.
Yeah,
be careful. They're coming to get you, Susan. That's the peace train. I'm pretty sure that's the peace train. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Tell me about this. The machines, they had a very interesting way of dealing with the technical issue with the Diebold OpScan machines in this race,
this was very high tech. Apparently, the ballots were jamming in some way, and they started shaking the machines. And then apparently, and I have this on video that I haven't seen yet. We're hoping we'll post this on Brad Blog because it's supposed to be amazing to watch. They just kept shaking the machines to the point that it was making a racket. Somebody said it sounded like, speaking of trains, like trains or trucks. And apparently there's over an hour of video of machines being forcefully shaken.
You have this video of shaking the machines?
Yes.
Is this part of the process in Florida or just this county to this is how we repair the machines, the OpScan machines, we shake them?
Well,
Derek,
yeah.
They said that was acceptable practice.
That was acceptable practice.
The manufacturer had told them that in order to make the machines work, you had to shake them vigorously and even bang them against the wall.
Now, which manufacturer? Because we're talking about they were machines made by Diebold, but then they changed their name to Premier, and then they were sold. They were purchased by ES&S, but then they had to get rid of it because the Justice Department said it was antitrust, and so Dominion took over a lot of those contracts. So, who the hell is the manufacturer at this point, and who gave them the instructions to bang the voting machines against the wall to make them work?
Well, I know here in Volusia County, our supervisor of elections also said that at one point, and that was Diebold. So I'm not sure who said it in this election. Do you know, Derek?
Actually, I have no idea at this point.
Unbelievable.
You know, I thought it might be ES&S, but it could have been Dominion.
And, Derek, Brett, do we have any idea of there was a large number of undervotes that were not counted, nobody was counted at all by the optical scanners in this race. Do I remember this correctly?
That's correct. The supervisor of elections has stated that there were 304 undervotes. And as Susan has mentioned, those undervotes have not been the subject of any scrutiny yet. The only thing that they've that's been done to them is they were fed into those machines, and they were spit back out as being undervotes. And that's all we have right now. Now, obviously, those 304 votes could sway not just the entire election, or at a minimum, you know, give us grounds for an automatic recount and hopefully eventually a hand recount of the undervotes.
So it is legal to count a vote like that, an undervote, to examine one of those by hand?
You can examine an undervote by hand and an overvote by hand. The overvotes, I believe, there were only two of those, have already been examined.
And, Derek, Brett, what are you asking for in this lawsuit? What's the remedy you're asking for from the court?
Primarily to void the election. In the alternative, we're asking them to take whatever measures are necessary, which could include anything from voiding the absentees alone, all the way to just simply declaring Mr. Ramirez the winner. Now, the natural result per Florida law, not just statutory law, but case law, would be to void the election and hold a new election.
Okay. Well, when will the county respond to this, and when will it be heard in a court of law, Derek?
Well, you know, the county has 20 days to answer.
Yeah.
However, we've filed discovery request already, and we filed a motion for expedited discovery. We attempted to get into the court over the last 2 days, and unfortunately, the judge took off today, and then yesterday, she had apparently called me and had to come in immediately without any notice. It was a voicemail message. I was meeting with clients and said, come in right now. And I'm not in Osceola County. I'm in Orange County. I'm in Orlando.
Okay.
So it would have taken me a good 45 minutes or so to shuffle down there. So it was unusual, but hopefully next week now we'll have an actual hearing before this judge.
Well, keep us up to date on this. It's certainly very interesting, and I would certainly I don't know how they can look at the evidence that you compiled, and I would urge people to check it out. Go over to bradblog.com, the item about tonight's show. The PDF is listed there. Read this case, and frankly, read on down. Go to page 14, I think it is, of this case to read about the Lees and the Sextons and the Garcias and the actual hard evidence they have. Before I run here, Susan Pinchon, who you, by the way, if you haven't seen Hacking Democracy, you can go to hackingdemocracy.com. You can actually see it in parts on Google and YouTube and so forth. And 9 of 9 is a part of Hacking Democracy. The very end of the thing, you can watch it at YouTube, where we actually see one of these op scan machines. I think it's the same type we're dealing with in this case, are we not, Susan?
Yes, exactly.
And it's a scene that you're in that's very moving, where we actually see the paper ballots run through this optical scan machine. We know what the results should be because it's a mock election. There's only 7 or 8 votes, and the results come out the exact opposite. And you were there that day, the first time this hack ever occurred, right?
Yes, that's correct, Brad. It was a really shocking experience.
At this point, given that, Susan, do you have any confidence in these machines anymore, really, at all? And if not, how the hell should we be counting our ballots?
Well, I really don't have any faith in the machines, Brad, because, you know, in addition to that, the central vote tabulator has a manual override that allows an election administrator to go in, highlight any candidate's total, delete it, and type in whatever they want. And that very well could have happened in this with these absentees. They just simply put in the number they wanted, which is why they desperately didn't want a recount and prevented Mr. Ramirez from getting votes he was entitled to that would have allowed him to have his recount. So what we should do, the only thing really, is to count paper ballots in the precincts on election night before they leave anybody's eyesight, and have the public there to witness and watch their votes being counted so that everybody knows what the totals actually are.
That sounds a whole lot like democracy to me. It'll be quite a while before that reaches Florida. Susan Pinchon of the Florida Fair Elections Coalition. You can check them out and support their efforts at floridafairelections.org. And Derek Brett of the Brett Law Firm, who's filing on behalf of Armando Ramirez. Derek, please do thank Mr. Ramirez for standing up and fighting to have ballots counted in these United States of America, instead of running away and saying, well, that's that. It really means a lot. And in a small election like this that is manageable, that we can fight for oversight, it really could make a lot of difference in what happens across the rest of the country. So, Derek, please do thank him for me. And I thank you, Derek, for helping him out and doing such a great job in filing this case.
I'll pass the word on. Thanks for everything, Brett.
Thank you, brother. And thank you, Susan. Do appreciate it. Good luck. Keep us up to date, will you?
Thanks.
All right, Brad. You
take
bet.
Care. Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
All right. We're coming back to your phone calls and much more. 877-520-1150. Did you hear the hammer came down in Texas? Yeah, Tom DeLay. He's going to jail. Or is he? Much more straight ahead, including your calls. Get in line now, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Malloy. Stay with us.
The world at one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. Cause I'm on the edge of darkness. This karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together.
Welcome back to the Malloy Show. I, for one, am thankful for John Lennon as we head into this holiday break. Let's see. Oh, we'll have a best of Mike Malloy tomorrow night, so you can get your Malloy fix, wake you up right out of your tryptophan coma, no doubt. And then I shall return on Friday, post-tea giving, to have much more. David Swanson is going to be joining us on Friday. And I'm going to try to get a whole bunch of your calls in, as I will now, 877-520-1150. If you would like to use your public airwaves to tell me what you are thankful about or about anything else, we're going to talk about Tom DeLay, of course, in the next hour. The big, big news coming up in hour number three. You do not want to miss it. Something to be thankful for. Something else to be thankful for while you guys line up. 877-520-1150. Speaking of lining up, this TSA stuff. You know, okay, so last year we have the Christmas bomber. And I didn't want to talk about it. I was on the air at the time broadcasting from Dallas. And I didn't want to talk about it because it's a stupid story. Because it's just, you know, stupid. They arrested him. It didn't go off. They got him away. Enough. I'm not going to change my life. I'm not going to hide under the goddamn table every time someone lights a match. Okay? Land of the free, home of the brave. Which part of brave do you not get? Anyway, now we get to this year, and oh, we got to use these porno scanners. Porno scanners, enhanced pat-downs. I mean, what is this world coming to? Well, here's the good news, sort of. All of this brouhaha about the TSA and about these scanners and about these pat-downs, it's working as it's supposed to. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that, there's a problem with these scanners. There's a problem with the pat-downs. People are complaining about it. People are over-complaining about it. Sometimes they're under-complaining about it. But it's democracy. It's happening. There's going to be adjustments to the system. Perhaps they'll throw them out entirely. But the system of democracy is working. We are all able to talk about this story and find the, if you will, happy medium, or at least try to. But do you have any doubt at all? Any doubt at all, if there was a Republican sitting in the White House right now, I don't care who that Republican was, this system wouldn't be working. Why? Because, at least half of the U.S. would be out there telling us that, it's post-9/11. Post-9/11, it's a different world we live in. We have to give up our civil liberties in order to have our security. But no, that's not happening now. Why? Because there's a Democrat in the White House. And what do you know? This means that the Republicans are free to criticize the policies that, by the way, George Bush began to put in place before he even left office. You remember that time, don't you? Back when everyone was telling us that, we need to read your emails. We need to torture you. We have to. It's a post-9/11 world. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Yeah, well, now that there's no Republican in office, it's okay. The Republicans are free to bitch and moan and complain and say how ridiculous this is because, by the way, it is ridiculous. And the folks on the left, the progressives, the Democrats, well, some of the Democrats, but the progressives who would speak out and fight for our civil liberties, they would do it no matter who's in office. For the Republicans, only when there's a Democrat in office. Fine, I'll take it, whatever, I gotta take what I can get, it's Thanksgiving. At least people are complaining, at least they're bitching and moaning, and we're finding out how to make this work. The system, for the moment, is working. I hope you understand what I mean. Your call straight ahead, Brad in for Malloy.